Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. That song you just heard is called Come Out of Her, My People, and it's based on the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 4, where God makes a call to wayward church members that they might come out of apostate Babylon, the mother of all harlots, the abominations of all the earth. Mystery Babylon, that is, the great and apostate Roman Catholic Church. And the song is so fitting because we are challenging the Joint College of African American Bishops to a debate. We have been putting forth propositions, pretty much like Martin Luther put forth his propositions 500 years ago. And today we're going to be presenting proposition number 4, but to date we have not heard from any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Think about it. We've released 2 of 12 books. We've released the book Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops, and we've not heard a word. We've not heard a word after releasing 2 of 12 books. We've not heard a word from the Joint College of African American Bishops. Now, mind you, when I say jackass church bishops, I'm calling each member of the Joint College a jackass. But they refuse to call. The second book, Nehushtan Church Bishops, again, I'm calling each member of the Joint College of African American Bishops a Nehushtan. But they refuse to call. We have put forth 53 propositions. Today we will lay down number 54. And even after punching them in the face 53 times, they refuse to punch back. Now, you got to ask yourself, what's up with this institution? What's the deal? They can't counterpunch? They claim to have theologians in their midst. They claim to have scholars. They constantly have magisterium. They constantly have teaching sessions every year when they come together. They actually, when they go to Rome, they get to sit down at the Pontifical College to take courses. So what's up? Why can't these jokers called the broadcast? The number, Mr. Ellis, who happens to be the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, the number here, Mr. Ellis, and the number here, Executive Board of the Joint College of African American Bishops, is 646-564-9730. Where are the members of the Joint College? I wrote a book called Jackass Bishops. I didn't write a book, Ostrich Church Bishops. I didn't expect Joint College to stick their heads in the sand and act as though nothing's going on. Didn't act them. Am I going to have to write a book, Ostrich Church Bishops? How the Joint College of African American Bishops won't debate but stick their heads in the sand in hopes that we're going to go away? Well, we're not going away. We're not going away. So, again, the number is 646-564-9730. You, our faithful listeners, know, those of you tuning in from Europe, those of you tuning in from Africa, those of you tuning in from the Caribbean, those of you tuning in from the Americas, you know, that we've extended to each member of the Joint College of African American Bishops, no matter their rank, every single member, and it must be by now 1,000 plus. There must be 1,000 bishops in this whack-a-mole organization. Well, you know that you have an open-ended invitation. You can call in this broadcast I'll put on the brakes. I'll put everything on hold. If you, one of the members of the Joint College, happens to call up, we'll take your call. We need to ask you some questions. We just need to ask you some very important questions. So let's consider proposition number 54. And before we do, let me just back up and read to you proposition number 53, because they all go hand in hand. These propositions pretty much go hand in hand in hand. In fact, let me go back to proposition number 52. Let me go to 52, and proposition number 52 reads in the following manner. The purchasing of vestments and insignia for the episcopal office proves that from its inception, the Joint College of African American Bishops was under the spiritual authority of pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. Again, the purchasing of vestments and insignia for the episcopal office proves that from its inception, the Joint College of African American Bishops was under the spiritual authority of pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. Now, I got that proposition from Mr. Ellis's book entitled The Bishopric, The Bishopric. And let me read to you from chapter 1 in his book at page 17. Chapter 1 is entitled In the Beginning. Mr. Ellis writes, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. There you have it. I didn't make it up. I took it right out of his book. So Proposition 52 is based on Mr. Ellis's book. Let me read it again. Mr. Ellis states, wrote, and I quote, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments, plural, and insignia, singular, for the Episcopal office. So when you read Proposition 52, purchasing of vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office proves that from its inception, from its birthing, from its founding, the Joint College of African American Bishops was under the spiritual authority of pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. Now, you say, well, okay, you proved that from the beginning they were getting all this junk, and you ask, well, what is vestments and what is insignia? Well, the vestments are the Roman Catholic vestments. Your bishop there, whatever rank he may hold, your bishop looks like a Roman Catholic cleric. And that's why the vestments, they traveled to Philadelphia from New York to get those Roman Catholic vestments. But in addition to that, they went seeking to purchase insignia. Well, what's insignia? Well, as we have discovered, as I have shown you based on the different Catholic dictionaries that I've been quoting, insignia has to do with the mitre. See, it's not just the vestments, but it's the hat, the mitre. It has to do with gloves, the ring. Think about it. Bishops who wear gloves, rings, pectoral cross, crozier, and the pallium. So those are the insignia. Those are the accessories. Insignia are the episcopal accessories. The vestments is what they put on. So they went from New York to Philadelphia to purchase the vestments, the Roman Catholic vestments, and the Roman Catholic accessories. A mitre, the pointy hat, is an accessory. The gloves, accessory. The episcopal ring, accessory. The pectoral cross, accessory. The pastor's staff or the crozier, accessory. The pallium for the archbishop, accessories. All these are accessories. So from its inception, the Joint College of African American Bishops, its four founding members, went from Philadelphia to, rather, excuse me, from New York to Philadelphia, and they were on their way to get this faggot wear. It's Roman Catholic vestments are faggot wear. That's what it is. Now, proposition number 53. The purchasing of an insignia such as the Romish style mitre, that's the pointy little hat, proves that those donning it, those wearing it, those showcasing it, have been spiritually influenced by pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. And we showed how the mitre worn by the high priest of Israel was a turban. So if we are of Judeo-Christian stock, if we are of Judeo-Christian heritage, and our high priest wore a wrapped hat or a turban, what in the world is a so-called minister of Christ doing wearing a pagan hat? Because the mitre that the Pope wears, the mitre that the archbishops wear, the mitre that the bishops wear, the cardinals wear, those funny pointy hats that look like a fish's head, a fish's mouth opening, those funny looking hats are of pagan origin. Can't find that style hat being worn in the Old Testament by those who served God. You're not going to find that kind of a mitre. So, again, proposition number 53, the purchasing of insignia, such as the Romish-style mitre, proves that those donning it, those who can't wait, they just can't, I mean, they're chomping at the bit. They can't wait to wear that funny-looking fish hat. Tells you and me, that they've been spiritually influenced not by the Bible, not by the Holy Spirit, but by pagan, papal, anti-Christian Rome. That was proposition number 53. Now, proposition number 54 reads like this. The purchasing of an insignia, such as Romish-styled gloves, mind you, gloves, proves that those wearing them have allowed pagan papal Rome to sissify and emasculate them. If you're wearing gloves, if you're a minister of Christ, and you have vestments on, and you also have the pointy hat, and in addition to the pointy hat, you're wearing gloves. Well, what does that tell the rest of us? Well, it tells the rest of us, it just proves to the rest of us, that pagan Rome, papal Rome, has sissified you. It's turned you into a girly man. If you're marching into church, if you're coming in a what they call an episcopal procession, an ecclesiastical procession, if you're marching in and you're wearing a bunch of gloves, like the church mothers wear, I don't see the men in the church ever wearing gloves. I'm Pentecostal. I was brought up in a Pentecostal church, and the women in the church wore gloves, not the men. I mean, in wintertime, but we're not talking about winter. We're talking about gloves being part of your accessory. You know how you accessorize? When I hear my wife and my daughters talking about how they want to accessorize, my wife and my daughter, they go shopping, they get a dress, they get shoes, and they're accessorizing. My sons and I, we don't accessorize. Men don't look to accessorize. Only sissified men look to accessorize. Only emasculated men look to accessorize. Only effeminate men look to accessorize. Now, again, reading to you from the Roman Catholic Dictionary of the Liturgy on page 268, the book that was authored by Reverend Jovian Lang, he writes on page 268, it says, what is insignia? Insignia is, those accessories worn by what? Worn by prelates. Pope Paul VI simplified their number because Roman Catholic priests and bishops and archbishops and cardinals had lots of accessories. They had a lot. I mean, it's a queer religion. Is it any wonder that they like to molest boys? Is it any wonder that almost every diocese in the United States has gone bankrupt, paying out lawsuits, pedophile priest? Well, again, Pope Paul VI simplified the number of accessories or insignia. And for the Pope and the bishops of the church, insignia are the mitre, the gloves, the ring, pectoral cross, the shepherd's staff, and the pallium, to name a few. So, what are bishops in the African American church doing wearing gloves? When Jesus ordained his apostles, in Mark 3, in Matthew 10, in Luke 6, because those are the three chapters from the synoptic books that give us an account as to when and how Jesus ordained the 12. Now, why do I bring that up? Well, the members of the Joint College claim to succeed from the 12 in Christ. Mr. Ellis and his group promote the fairy tale apostolic succession. Well, if you succeed the apostles, can you please show us in Matthew 10, in Mark 3, in Luke 6, when Jesus ordained his disciples, when did he ever give them a mitre and when did he ever give them a pair of gloves? When did Jesus wear gloves? I mean, when the Romans crucified Jesus, did they put the nails through his gloves and his hands? You see, Jesus was not sissified. Jesus was not emasculated. Jesus was a man's man. Jesus never wore gloves. There was no need for Jesus or his apostles to wear gloves. I don't recall hearing or reading about Peter or Andrew, his brother, wearing gloves. I don't recall about hearing James and John wearing gloves. I don't recall Matthew or even Judas Iscariot, for that matter, wearing gloves. Which one of the apostles did Jesus give gloves to? Well, when the Joint College was started, We're told by one of the co-founders that they were on their way from New York to Philadelphia to purchase vestments and insignia. Well, if you go to the Roman Catholic Dictionary, part of the accessories or insignia are the gloves, the female-type gloves. Now, I don't know men. I know a lot of ministers in the gospel. I know a lot of ministers. I don't know. My friends don't wear gloves. They don't wear those pointy hats. They don't have those. No. But we can understand why. Now, going to Mr. Ellis's book again, because it's a treasure trove I mean, Mr. Ellis just, I mean, he just gives you all the evidence you need. Mr. Ellis writes in the introduction on page 13, when this college was ordered by the Lord, and we've already dealt with that in a proposition, Jesus never ordered this college, ever. But Mr. Ellis argues, or he writes, when this college was ordered by the Lord, it was made clear that Episcopal-style training was to become the curriculum by which we would be governed. Episcopal-style. In other words, they went to Rome. They went and got Rome's playbook. Then, on page 13, the next paragraph, Mr. Ellis writes, the third paragraph. He writes, it was then time to create a college for the princes, P-R-I-N-C-E-S, for the princes of the church, so that we might all walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. Now, the reason why Mr. Ellis is getting all of these vestments and these funny-looking hats, which, by the way, you know, the mitres testify of rank. And you were just told here by Mr. Ellis, it was then time to create a college for the princes of the church. In other words, these clowns think that they're royalty. They think they're royalty. Well, In Matthew 20, when Jesus was correcting his disciples and telling them to steer clear of what Mr. Ellis and Rome is peddling, which is hierarchy, Jesus said to his disciples, to his apostles, Jesus said in Matthew 20:25, but when Jesus called them unto him, he said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. And they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Oh, listen. Mr. Ellis says that on page 13, when this college was ordered by the Lord. And then he goes on to say, it was then time to create a college for the princes of the church. But Jesus said that there are to be no princes in the church. He said it in Matthew 20:25. He said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles, the princes of the pagans, exercise dominion over them, and that they are great, and they that are great exercise authority. In other words, they subjugate you. They enslave you. They abuse you. And in verse 26, Jesus says, it shall not be so among you. In other words, you're not supposed to be like the pagans. And when Jesus in verse 25 is talking about the Gentiles, he's talking about the Romans. The Romans. Jesus says, look around you. Look at how the Romans exercise authority upon those whom they reign over. They're abusive. They're despotic. They're tyrannical. That's who they are. But Jesus says, when my church gets established, it will not be so among you. It will. No. There's to be no hierarchy. There's to be no enslaving of my people. No enslaving. None. But Mr. Ellis says, it was then time to create a college for the princes of the church. It was then time. That we might all walk by the same rule and mind the same thing. But you see, when Mr. Ellis writes that, when he says, and it was then time to create a college for the princes of the, he doesn't provide a scripture, but I just provided you a counter scripture. I just gave you Matthew 20, 25 and 26. And then Jesus goes on to say in 27 and 28, whosoever will be chief among you, whoever wants to be the archy among you, archy poimen, no. Whoever wants to be the chief, whoever wants to be the boss, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man is the example, and came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Who's willing to die like Jesus? These guys aren't willing to die. They're walking around in vestments. They're walking around in expensive outfits. They're walking around with gloves. These guys, Peter was crucified upside down according to church tradition. When they crucified Peter, they didn't take off his gloves. He didn't have any gloves. Peter didn't have soft hands. His hands were broken. Peter was a fisherman. He's dealing with nets and salt water and rope and hooks and all kinds of stuff. The guy had rough hands. But the effeminate ministers of the church, yes, effeminate ministers, they want to wear gloves. They're traveling from New York to Philadelphia to go get gloves, Episcopal gloves, faggoty gloves. With faggoty hats, with faggoty vestments. Here's Mr. Ellis. And I listen, no doubt these guys wear gloves. No doubt. On page 55 of his book, he has a whole chapter, a whole section here, rather, on grooming standards. Does Mr. Ellis. He writes, manicures are encouraged. I don't recall Paul, when writing to Timothy, spoke about manicures. I don't recall when Paul wrote to Titus, he mentioned anything about manicures. I don't recall. Some Mr. Ellis, can you call the broadcast, Mr. Ellis? Can you help us out here? Mr. Ellis, I don't have the degrees that you have. I went to your website, Mr. Ellis. I saw all those wonderful degrees you claim to have. Mr. Ellis, can you call us here at 646-564-9730? 646-564-9730. Mr. Ellis, can you call? Can you call? Mr. Ellis writes on page 55, while I wait for him to call, let me read. Manicures are encouraged, and since it is with our hands that we impart blessings. Now, where did he get that? It is with our hands. Well, he got that from Rome. That's a Roman Catholic teaching. And since it is with our hands that we impart blessings, we encourage our bishops and clergy alike to take special care to attend to this matter. In the case of bishops, we would remind that the people venerate, and you look up the word venerate. To venerate is to idolize. To venerate is to worship. I looked at the Oxford Thesaurus. And the word venerate, another word for venerate is worship. The people worship our all. I thought we were supposed to worship the Lord. But I thought we were to, we were to. Idolize the Lord. Well, he writes, we should remind that people venerate our office by kissing our Episcopal ring and our right hand. That alone should make us very careful about our public use and care of our hands. No wonder they wear gloves. But you see, it goes back to my proposition. If you're wearing gloves, and as Mr. Ellis encourages, if you're getting manicures, you have been, can I say faggotized? Can I invent that word? Can I say you've been faggotized? You've been you've been sissified and emasculated by pagan papal Rome. And I would create a new word, and I would call it faggotized. Queer-atized. I mean, think about it. If you have to go from Philadelphia, from New York to Philadelphia to go to some shop, you know, you're going to some shop where they have gloves for archbishops, gloves for bishops, gloves for, I mean, and we're talking about gloves that you're going to wear as accessories to match your clothing. I never heard of such a thing. I never heard of such a thing among men. I never heard of such a thing. I don't know any of my friends. I don't know any of my friends, my male friends, who accessorize, who are looking to match, who are looking to match their clothes. I know women do that all the time. My wife drives me crazy. Does this look good? And I say, yeah, it looks good. No, it doesn't. It doesn't look good. I said, then why do you ask me? You're driving me crazy. She'll put on 50 things. Does this still look good? Yeah, it looks great. No, it doesn't. I look too fat in it. And she's not fat. But, I mean, that's, what do you, and so, and then I say, she'll say, do I look good in this? Nah, you look horrible. Well, you know, this looks better. This looks, and I mean, so that's how I get her to wear something, because I just do the reverse. But it's my wife and my daughters who spend, I mean, hours accessorizing, matching this and matching that. And me and my boys, we just get dressed. We just, that's it. No, my son is not asking me, you know, Dad, does this match? We just get dressed. Only sissified and emasculated men get gloves that match. But, you know, that comes from Rome. That comes from Rome. And when you have deceived yourself into thinking that you're a prince, that you're all that. See, Paul called himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. These guys, I'm a bond servant. You're not a bond servant. How could you be a bond servant when you're dressed like a king? A queer king at that, but I mean, you're not going to work. You're not going to break a sweat. You're not going to sweat in those clothes. You're not going to sweat with all of your accessories on. You become a Nehushtan. You become a thing to worship. I mean, you just heard. I mean, I just read to you from Mr. Ellis's book where he wants to remind bishops who are taking this course and who are using his book as the textbook. Remember, people venerate our hand. They venerate our episcopal office. I mean, who venerates a hand? Are you kidding me? Who venerates a hand? Who venerates the episcopal office? You're an idol worshiper. That's why I wrote the book, Nehushtan Church Bishop, because King Hezekiah of Judah found that the people were burning incense to the brazen serpent that Moses had made, and he called them Nehushtan. They were worshiping it. They were bowing before it. They were kissing the brazen serpent. So, my brothers and sisters, listen. If you have a bishop who's wearing gloves and whose gloves match, you know, the piping matches the piping in the vestments, and my Episcopal crown, my mitre, has to be of a certain color, and it has to match my stockings and my slippers. I mean, you're dealing, I mean, come on. You're dealing with a man who has been sissified by Rome. And once you become sissified by Rome, and once Rome emasculates you, then what's next? What's next? What's next? If Rome, if you allow Rome to sissify you and to turn you into a man who is who can't live but to accessorize. Well, here is Mr. Ellis, because I just don't want you to hear what I read out of his book. Here he is telling us how they got the whole thing of the robes completely covered. Here's Mr. Ellis, in his own words, talking about robes and rings and plumes. Plumes now, plumes. Plumes. You know you've been sissified. You know that you've been emasculated when you allow Rome to get you to wear plumes. Now, I didn't say it. He said it.
Every month or so, there's a new promotion, a new installation, a new consecration. Boy, we have a plethora of bishops, overseers, and apostles being elevated. And I keep asking myself, for what? And because we are so accustomed to focusing on the present, how many of us are really planning for the future of our organizations and our churches? How many of us have a succession plan? I mean, a succession plan beside our sons or our daughters, our natural family, our dynastic kind of thing. Well, we need to think about it, because if we don't, our organizations, as great as they may be, will die shortly after we're off the scene. Now, you tell me, isn't that a worthwhile discussion? Isn't that a worthwhile series of thoughts? Meet us at the Joint College this March. Go online. Hurry up. collegeofbishops.org. Register. I need to see you there. We are past the rules. We got that down pat. Excuse the pat. We know how to put on vestments and plumes and chains and rings.
We know how to put on vestments, plumes, chains, and rings. Out of his own mouth. Now, where did this guy get this stuff? From Roman Catholic canon law. You can get it from the Bible. We don't find Jesus giving his disciples in Matthew 10 or Mark 3 or Luke 6. We don't find Jesus giving the disciples vestments, plumes, chains, rings. But that's what Mr. Ellis does when he elevates a new bishop. When he oversees the consecration and elevation of a bishop, that's what he spends the great majority of the service on. Putting junk on men and women. And then calling them bishop, and then having them turn around, and then having people come up to kiss their hand, to kiss their ring. Where did Mr. Ellis get this stuff from? Where did he get the idea that the church has princes? Where did he get this? He got it from Rome. He got it from the same harlot church God is telling us to get out of. And it's time to get out. It's time to exit out of any African-American church that has been hijacked, taken over, commandeered by these asinine bishops. Go check out my book, Jackass Church Bishops, and my book, Nehushtan Church Bishops. You can check it out by going to the website, www.paganbishops.com. Proposition number 54 is already in the books, and it reads like this. The purchasing of an insignia, such as Ramish-styled gloves, proves that those wearing them have allowed pagan papal Rome to sissify and emasculate them. Well, saints, that does it for today. I will be back on Monday, not tomorrow Sunday, but I will be back on Monday with Proposition 55, and then Sister Marie will be with us in studio on Tuesday to deliver her end time news report. God bless you, saints. And remember, it's time to come out of her, says the Lord.
Judge by